Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Governor Peter Shumlin is planning on releasing his long-awaited financing plan for single-payer health care in 2 weeks' time. But some details of the plan have already leaked out. Healthcare analyst Hamilton Davis has been writing about this issue on his website, Vermont Journal, and he joins us now in our VPR studios to tell us more. Ham, great to speak with you again.
Good morning, Mitch.
Now, we've known for a few years that single-payer will likely be paid for with a mix of payroll or income taxes. An unnamed source leaked some details last week to VT Digger, which put the payroll tax at 8%. Have these leaks, first of all, meant that the Shumlin administration has lost control of the narrative around health care reform?
Well, I think it has. I think it's obvious that that's true because there's all kinds of issues around these numbers. And all of the opponents, the people that don't like health care reform or don't like single payer or don't like Peter Shumlin, have a field day criticizing it, talking about how damaging it will be. The Shumlin administration has had no response.
Well, this is kind of a big question, but can an 8% payroll tax raise enough money to pay for health care for every Vermonter and not overburden some Vermonters over others?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, the question is you have to really look at it, and that's what will happen once all of the numbers come out in January. The 8% payroll tax will not pay for all of it. The other half is going to be what the administration is going to call fees. They're going to be sliding scale. We haven't seen what that looks like, but that will be assessed against individuals, and that will essentially be an increase in the income tax. It's not clear the extent to which you'll have progressivity inside the 8% payroll tax. The real threat of the 8% is to smaller companies.
Now, companies with fewer than 50 employees?
Yes, that's a small company. Okay. I'm sorry. If they are not providing health insurance now, this could have a heavy impact on them. We have no idea whether the administration plan has a piece in it that eases the effect on small business like that. The other end of it is the effect on very large companies who are self-insured, have federal protections against any state action, I think is much less well understood.
Can those companies that are self-insuring right now be forced in any way to join a single-payer program?
That all arose when the administration secretary, Jeb Spaulding, gave an interview last week, I think, to Bob Kinzel.
Yeah.
His whole presentation was very misleading. In the first place, nobody is going to sign up for Green Mountain Care. If they impose the 8% payroll tax, there's evidence out there that most big companies already pay for their health care insurance well over 8% of their payroll.
Well, briefly, Ham, getting back to what Jeb Spaulding did tell Bob Kinzel in that interview, he said that the administration could tax these self-insured companies to the point that they might be enticed to drop insurance and have their employees use Green Mountain Care instead. And you're saying that's really a misleading way of looking at it.
Absolutely. The implication is that if they don't sign up, then they refuse. And the point is they can't. And there's no signing up at all. You pay this tax. You could say, of course, you think that you have even higher benefits than the state would provide under Green Mountain Care. Well, you could use the Green Mountain Care as the base. And then if you wanted to add more, if you wanted to give your employees more, then you could simply do that. There'd be nothing to prevent you from that. In any event, what you would do is you would save the first 8%.
Now, the administration has been putting out some videos online that make the case for single payer. Those videos really point out more, though, what's wrong with the current system of health care that relies on employers providing it to workers and the discrepancies that creates for a lot of people who end up paying more out of pocket than others, than what's right or better about a single-payer system. I know you've seen these videos. Do you think this approach can be an effective tool in selling the idea to Vermonters?
Once the administration drops its plan out on the table at the end of December, then you're going to be able to see a full-scale debate. The reality is that in the state today, the current delivery system is a crazy quilt of unfairness.
The thing, though, and this reflects it nationally as well, when you start talking about things like single payer, nationally, it's the same fears that people have. I don't want the government running healthcare. I'll have to ration my care. I won't be able to choose my doctor. I won't be able to have the kind of control that I have now. I think people are worried about the quality of care they would get under single payer, in addition to whatever concerns they have about cost.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. The question is whether those concerns are realistic or whether they are not.
Well, but the Shumlin administration didn't do, just to interrupt for a second, didn't do itself any favors by rolling out Vermont Health Connect in such a way that was, quite frankly, a failure. Because that, again, that was an example of the government putting out a system that was supposed to work and did not work.
Well, that's true. But even in that area, all the criticism, which I've made in my blog, of the rollout is valid, is absolutely true, and is probably the reason, Mitch, why the Shumlin performance in the election was so terribly bad. But just to take one example, opponents claimed during the election that what Shumlin was trying to do with the exchange was to take over people's Medicare, and that that would mean that they couldn't choose their own doctor and that they were going to lose their benefits. Well, that's just plain false. It is against federal law to either reduce benefits available to seniors under Medicare or to constrict their ability to choose their own doctor.
I just want to ask you briefly, Han, along those lines, politically speaking, just pure politics here, the election you referred to, how close Governor Shumlin came to losing, not getting 50%, how much political clout does he need and has he lost to get this through? And will that ultimately decide the fate of single payer, do you think?
Well, it absolutely could. There's a lot of ifs in there. One of the things that I believe is this. If Peter Shumlin doesn't run hard and win in 2016, then it's going to be very difficult to keep any kind of health care reform moving forward. Not impossible. They will be able to do some things, but the whole sort of sense of the program will go away. Peter Shumlin is a very, very sharp guy, and he is very highly politically skilled. But the magic, I think, is gone. One of the things that Shumlin did by a weak prosecution of his campaign in 2014 is he's invited a heavy duty, a really serious Republican candidate in 2016.
Healthcare analyst Ham Davis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Mitch.
And you can find a link to Ham Davis's story on our website, vpr.net.